This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us. What is the RCIA? The efficacy of sacramental ritualism is the focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host Jim McCarthy, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about Himself, about us, what He expects of us, and most importantly, what He has done for us that we might spend eternity with Him. My ABBA Studio co-host for today's program is Jim McCarthy, the author of The Gospel According to Rome and What Every Catholic Should Ask, producer of the video Catholicism Crisis of Faith, and head of the ministry Good News for Catholics. Jim, as you know, for the last few weeks we've been discussing the differences between salvation, as it is taught in the Roman Catholic Church, and salvation, as it's presented in the Bible. And there are a number of reasons for doing this, the most critical being that one's view of salvation will determine where he or she will spend eternity. If we put our hope in something that's contrary to what God requires, we have set ourselves on a course which will end up separated from Him forever. So it's imperative that we know God's plan of salvation. As we've mentioned on previous programs, too few people really have a grasp of this subject. Many Catholics don't really know the teachings of their church. Those who call themselves evangelicals are too often unknowledgeable about biblical salvation, and certainly most Catholics and Protestants are more wishful than informed about what the other side believes will get them to heaven. So, we're trying to supply some very crucial information for both Catholics and evangelicals. Jim, we noted that for the Roman Catholic, baptism is the doorway to heaven. Please give us a brief review of official Catholic teaching on baptism.
Well, for the Catholic, Tom, baptism is described as a gate into the life of grace. That before that, the child is in the condition in which he was born in Adam, separated from God and under the condemnation of sin. Mm-hmm. But in baptism, sin is wiped away, and grace, called sanctifying or justifying grace, is poured or infused into the soul of the child who is baptized. And this, according to the Church, causes the child to be born again, to become a member of the Roman Catholic Church, to be rescued from the power of Satan, to be given the gift of divine life. And this makes the child holy and beautiful in the sight of God. You probably recall, Tom, because I know you have a Catholic background, how to the baptismal sacrament, the parents are instructed to bring a robe for a gown for the child. It's pure white. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the ceremony, this gown is put on the child to symbolize that the child is now innocent and perfect in the sight of God. That's why they put such emphasis on baptism.
Right, and if the child were to die, let's say minutes after, the child would go straight to heaven, no purgatory or anything like that, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, you're right. As a former Roman Catholic, I had a lot of experience attending infant baptisms of cousins and so on. But one thing that was always a puzzlement to me, and I guess maybe because I couldn't remember any of them, that is adults who converted to Roman Catholicism, I didn't remember their baptisms or the process that they went through, but there's something new about that today, isn't there?
Yes, there is, Tom. The Catholic Church has actually two ways of joining the Church, one for little children and infants, which is they're baptized as soon as possible, but adults are asked to go through a program of spiritual development and study. According to the Second Vatican Council, all dioceses are to develop these, and you find them today just about in every parish. And it's called the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. It's a multi-month program whereby adults wanting to convert to Roman Catholicism are prepared for baptism.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a process that, as you said, they must go through. And it involves lots of different, I want to call it works, but there are certain things, certain requirements that they have to achieve before they can receive baptism.
That's correct. There's sort of four stages, the first being cooperation with first actual grace. And this is a grace that God supposedly disposes upon a person, and they have to receive this and cooperate on it and begin to seek God. Then they have to demonstrate confessional faith in this, as the Church describes it, whereby they come to understand the doctrines of the Catholic Church and believe them to be true. Then good works, whereby they prepare their souls for baptism, and they're involved in various kinds of good works and acts of virtue. And then the final stage is baptism, where just like the infant, they receive the sacrament by which they're introduced into the life of grace.
Now, Jim, there's something about this that doesn't quite add up. If baptism is so critical with regard to the salvation of a Roman Catholic, here it's held off. It could be, I'm not sure if this is from your book, The Gospel According to Rome, or where exactly this is from, but anyway, it says the time spent in the catechumenate should be long enough, several years if necessary, for the conversion and faith of the catechumens to become strong.
That's right. This is a concept going back to some practices in the early church that I found in Scripture. In fact, I would say they contradict Scripture, but it's a concept where you become a candidate for baptism and you become part of a program which in ancient times was called the catechumenate and today is called the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, the RCIA.
Mm-hmm.
And this is divided, Tom, into three stages. The first one is evangelism, where the person inquiring comes to understand the basics of Roman Catholicism, begins to practice a spiritual way of life, and has to show through prayer and repentance that he's serious about becoming a Catholic. Then they enter into the stage called instruction, where they are fully indoctrinated into the teachings of Roman Catholicism. And this takes quite a few months, typically about a year in span, and they work through catechisms and they learn the practices of the Catholic Church. The next stage is called purification and enlightenment, and this prepares the person for baptism. And they undergo during this time exercises resulting in supposedly the purification of one's soul, reflection, spiritual enlightenment, and they undergo three scrutinies whereby the priest leading this inquires from this person's sponsor whether or not they're measuring up to this new type of living. And then finally, usually at Easter, these adults are baptized into the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see it's a very long process, and this stands in contrast to the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 who asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And, you know, Paul answered back very simply, Tom, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved." The man believed, he and his household, and they were baptized that very night. There's no year-long preparation and instruction in righteous living.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I know as a former Catholic, but now an evangelical who discusses these things with Roman Catholics, one thing that they object to is when you say, well, your salvation is by works. And they would say, no, it's not by works. It's by grace. Now, let me give you and I know you're aware of this. This is the question the baptizing priest would ask to the sponsors of the adults who are converting to Catholicism. Quote, "As God is your witness, do you consider these candidates worthy to be admitted to the sacraments of Christian initiation?" Now, that sounds like works to me. Not only this question, but all of the requirements that the candidate had to go through and achieve in order to receive baptism, which is the door to Catholic salvation.
Well, you're absolutely right, Tom, and I think the RCIA is really an excellent program for preparing a person to become a Roman Catholic, because Catholicism is really approaching God through your own righteousness, through a life of obedience to the commandments and righteous living and attempting in this way to find favor with God. But the message we find in the Bible is it's quite a bit different. If I could just quote to you one scripture, which I think points this out best, it'd be Romans 4:5. "But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. God justifies ungodly people, not righteous people, because in his sight there's none righteous, no, not one. That's what it says in Romans 3:10. The program's misleading people.
Jim, there are also contradictions here. And if they're not, if someone would say, well, these are only apparent contradictions, I'd recommend any evangelical who discusses these issues with Roman Catholics, you have to ask them to define their terms. For example, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it says this: this initiation into Christian faith, meaning Catholic faith, and life, should dispose the catechumen to receive the gift of God in baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist. Now, to me, I always thought gift was when somebody gave you something, no strings attached, nothing was required or necessary in order to receive the gift. It's a gift.
That's right. That's how I see it, and I think that's how the Scriptures present grace. It's not of works. It's free, lest any man should boast. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's people listening go, oh, no, they don't teach that. We teach it's by grace. But I would encourage those people to pick up the liturgy of the rites associated with the RCIA and read them for yourself, and you'll find it's just filled with the exhortation that if you're going to be accepted by God, you must first do good works and be living a righteous life. Now, this is contrary to Scripture because we're sinners by nature. We're slaves to sin, says the Bible, and it's only after we've been born again and Christ has come into our lives that the transformation begins and we're able to live lives pleasing to Him. You can't do it before it, and that's what the RCIA teaches.
Right. And again, going back to the salvation that we both now believe in, salvation, it's by faith, it's in Christ, it's by faith alone. It's not of works, as Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tell us. It is by God's grace, but it's not the grace that enables the works in order to satisfy or meet God's requirements. That's the antithesis of the salvation that Christ has given us.
That's right. That's how I see it, Tom. And, you know, when I was in my mid-20s, I began reading the Scriptures, and that's the first time I really read and found for the first time the wonderful gospel of grace, that Christ has done it all, and what I need to do is repent and put my faith in Him, that He's the one that's going to make me stand before God, not me myself.
Mm-hmm. And there's another side to this, Jim. As a Roman Catholic, I grew up believing that I had to do penance for my own sins. And That's a misunderstanding of actually of the Scriptures. I know in the Latin Vulgate, which is the Bible, which is the standard, the basic Bible for Roman Catholic theology, written by St. Jerome, when they talk about penance, the word there ought to be translated repent. And that just means to turn from your sins. It doesn't mean that you can do things to satisfy or to expiate your own sins. It means that Christ has done it all, and we're just to turn, simply to turn to Him, because He alone paid the penalty for all of our sins, for the sins of past, present, and future. He did it all on the cross, and we just receive that by grace. But that's the way it was accomplished, and that's the way we receive it.
Yeah, I fully agree, Tom. There's nowhere in the New Testament that we're told to be accepted by God, we must do penance. For instance, in Luke chapter 13, the Lord says to a group of Jews, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In some of the Catholic Bibles, that reads, unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. That's a terrible change. There's a difference between having a change of mind about how I've been living, and what God wants me to do, and who Christ is, versus I'm going to do acts of penance, things like giving up certain foods. Some Catholics have slept on the floor, worn chain belts, deprived themselves of all kinds of things in an effort to find favor with God. Nowhere do you find Christ or the apostles teaching such a thing.
Right.
Tom and Jim will have more on sacramental ritualism next week. You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Jim address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Jim, this listener writes, "Your program really troubles me. It's not that I don't believe most of what you're saying in regard to the differences between the faith of Catholicism and what the Bible teaches. You see, I have a hard time believing that a billion people could go through life as Catholics and not end up in heaven. Is that what you truly believe?" Well, it is a hard thing, I think, for the flesh or just for people with sensibilities to, especially those people who just want it to work out for everybody. But, Jim, the gospel is really very clear, and it's a free gift of God, and it's offered to everyone, anyone who, whomsoever will, as it were. Let me read Galatians 1, 6 to 9, so we shift this from my opinion, Jim, or your opinion. Let's give the Apostle Paul's opinion. More than that, it's his words inspired by the Holy Spirit. Starting with verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Now, if you have a Bible, a Catholic Bible may even say, "Let him be anathema," which is condemned. Verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Well, that's a pretty strong language, Jim.
I think this question is one we can relate to, though. You know, the mm-hmm. concept, humanly speaking, of a billion people who are doing their religious duty, not ending up in heaven, it's a hard one for us to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
The person asked, "Is that what you truly believe?" And I think the way I'd answer it, Tom, it doesn't matter what I believe. The only thing that matters is, what did Christ teach? And if you read the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew, at the end of it, in chapter 7, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is small that leads to life, and few are those who find it." He goes on to say that in the day of judgment, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "You know, Lord, we did all these things for you," and he describes who some of those are, and he says, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here he's making it very clear. There's a lot of people are going to be deceived into thinking they're going to heaven when they're not. That's what Jesus taught. Secondly, the gate to heaven is narrow, but the way to destruction, he says in Matthew 7:13, it's broad. Now, a broad gate is for large access for a lot of people to go through it. A narrow gate is because, he says, few are those who find it. So according to Jesus, it's not the majority are going to heaven, but the minority. And a lot of those who are on the way to hell think they're on the way to heaven. And so if that applies to us, we need to deal with it. We just can't say, "I don't like it, you know, or it doesn't appeal to me."
Mm-hmm. And again, the gospel's for everyone, Jim, and the Holy Spirit brings conviction. He works on hearts. I'm thinking about Jeremiah 9:6. It says, "Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." And that's a matter of wanting what we want, wanting our spiritual views, our spiritual ideas, that we want it our way. And if it's not God's way, there's no salvation in it.
No, there's not.
This next listener writes, "How do you explain the fact that growing numbers of evangelicals, even former pastors, are converting to Roman Catholicism?" Now, Jim, just like our first question, this is a difficult one for us, especially that many would claim to have been evangelicals who believe that they were saved by faith alone in Christ alone, And now they're looking to another system of salvation. That's hard to fathom.
It is, but it shouldn't surprise us, Tom, because it's prophesied in the Scriptures very clearly that this would happen. For instance, Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith. And this is what we see happening, people going away from the truth of the Scriptures into error. It's predicted, it is happening, and I think what we need to do, all of us, Catholic or non-Catholic, is to turn back to the Scriptures, to the original teachings of Christ, and hold fast to them.
Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto fables. This is very similar to the verse you quoted, Jim, that there will be attractions, there will be things that draw us. I know in talking to some who have converted to Roman Catholicism, they tell you right up front, there's something about the liturgies, the rituals, all of the sort of tapestry, rich tapestry, as they would call it, with regard to the senses, that appeals to them. They want their religion to be more than just God's Word and God's truth.
It's unfortunate, Tom, but that's true. And John says this, you know, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us. That's in his first epistle, chapter 2. And unfortunately, it shows that there's a lack of a comprehension of the truth and a true relationship with Christ when people who profess faith in him keep wandering and wander away from his original teachings.
Mm-hmm. Jim, and just as you read from 1 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, again, gives you some of the reasons for what we're seeing today, whether it be evangelicals, so-called, because I don't believe, just as you quoted, I don't believe they were saved to begin with, or that salvation that they had in simple faith in Christ would have been sufficient, right? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians. This is chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. This is what you were referring to earlier. They're just jumping from this to that, to this to that, and they had truth in Christ, but it wasn't enough.
Tom, I know for myself, 25 years ago, when I started reading the Scriptures and found the gospel of salvation and found the Lord, it really brought to an end for me this searching. I really found what the Bible speaks about as the rest in Christ to be very real. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about this. And it's not a good sign when we see people so restless. You see all the different religions and psychological movements today, they're filled with Catholics trying to find the answer that they haven't found in Catholicism. And I just say to any of your listeners, turn to the Scriptures. You'll find the message of salvation, and you won't have to look any further.
Amen.
If you have questions for Tom to address in a future broadcast, stay tuned. We'll let you know where to send them in just a moment. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708, or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A1210. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you can join us again next week for According to God's Word.